Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello everyone, this is Lutheran Radio UK, and you're just in time for another episode of Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. Today you're not going to hear about what is required of you, you're going to hear about what God has done for you, because that is the gospel, and that is what Easter is all about. Our text is 1 Peter 1, 3-9, and from the English Standard Version it reads, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though how for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be his holy name, in light of the salvation he has won for you. You, dear saint in the pew, have received the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Yes, in light of Good Friday, Jesus' three-day rest in the tomb, his glorious descent, where he preached to the souls in perdition, and his triumphant rising from the dead, your salvation is won. It therefore is sure. It is firm, founded on what Christ has done for you. That's what Easter says, isn't it? It's done. It's all done. All the actions necessary for your salvation, Christ has done, accomplished. Easter is the culmination, God's stamp of approval, his exclamation point on a whole lot of action verbs. Promised, sent, lived, fulfilled, died, rose. Prior to salvation, you were dead in your sins, and you know as well as I that dead people do no action verbs. Dead people have no power within them whatsoever. The grave holds its prey secure, tight, more firm than the jaws of a Welsh scrum half. None has escaped its jaws, except Jesus and the prophets and apostles which he raised back to life. Like Lazarus, from John 11, who had been in the grave for 4 days, from which there would have been a hideous odor, the forces of nature will take their toll on us. They remind us that once upon a time we were solely under the tenacious grip of death, which eternally reeks of something much worse than being simply wrapped in an ancient cloth to be laid in a primitive tomb to rot and decay. But also, like Lazarus, our own resurrection has nothing to do with our participation or will to be resurrected with Jesus. It's not as though while in the grave Lazarus's auditory apparatus was actually able to respond to Jesus' voice. He was dead. Though he had ears, those ears would not have heard the words of Jesus for him to rise and come out. What we are seeing, as it is read out to us here, is that Jesus' word has its own power to give life and to vivify. Jesus' voice, his word, is a word that gives life to the dead, as it does to call into existence the things that do not exist, Romans 4:17. Just so, it is this existence which converts us. It's not that God somehow converts our will, that our will can now live alongside his will. It is that he has literally created a new will in us, and now that will is constantly fighting our old will. God's will be done. In other words, not the will which I still have, this sinful will which was given to me from birth from my parents, now changed, but the new will which God has created within me, not by my choice, but by His gracious will, the will of His Spirit, who promises to dwell in me, who, as long as I am able to remember my baptism, continues to cast my evil will to the side, crucify my will, so that His will in me is done. No will of my own will ever and can ever be described as good. God's will alone is good, and so God's will be done. God's will, which He creates in me anew every morning by the grace of His Spirit, be done. Of course, this is a very humbling experience. What we need to remind ourselves of, and often, is that we need help from outside of ourselves, and that this is not just necessary, this is absolutely necessary. Spiritually, we must possess the Spirit of God, who is a free gift and has been ours without question since our baptism, in order that we accept the truth that we are the problem, and as such we are incapable of healing ourselves. There's nothing more humbling than this concept. Our condition is so bad that our Savior, Jesus, came from outside our realm, from the dimension of heaven, thereby lowering Himself to rescue us from ourselves by necessarily coming down to earth. It was the only way. And now He says forever, I am the way. I am the truth. And of course, that brings life. Hence He finished with, I am the life. What else does the Word say to support this truth? From Psalm 51, verse 5, in our mother's wombs we were conceived in sin, born spiritually dead, Ephesians 2 tells us, fighting the Spirit of Christ, we're told in Galatians 5. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that we are incapable of pleasing Jesus. Again, we do not accept what comes from the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:14. If anything, by our own human reason, we regard the cross as foolishness. This is why no action we take or do will ever fix that. It's not that some try harder and so succeed. It's not that some work harder or pray harder, as if it were anything from us, that we are blessed. We need help from outside of us. And I don't just mean help. I mean we need someone to crucify our will. It's a paradox, a mysterious gift given to us via the means of grace. But we do not have our will changed for the better. We have our will destroyed utterly because it cannot change. And the will that is good in God's eyes, that may be done in the Spirit, is not our will. It is the will of God, which by His grace alone can be lived in us, so not just lived with us. He is not just helping us to live. He is living in our stead. Then in a very real sense, it is not we who live, but Christ who lives in us. That is exactly what Paul says. There is absolutely nothing in which we can boast of ourselves. We can only proclaim that Christ lives and glorify God, that He promises that He can and does live in you as well. And one day He will change your will on the day of resurrection, when there will be absolutely no corruption. For even your will be changed on the last day. And if you think about it hard enough, that's actually quite a scary thought. One may well think to themselves, will I still be me? Of course you will. But you'll be a better you, a perfect you, the you Christ ultimately came to renew and will fulfill His promise in good time. The you we as Christians sometimes pretend we are now, but are of course not, and nowhere close to being, because we are not in the day of resurrection. We are still sinners, struggling with our will, because by the grace of God the Spirit lives in us. Ironically then, in this sinful world, it's a pretty good sign that you're damned if you are not struggling with sin. You are not perfect yet. God has created a new will in you, yes, but this means battle. There is a spiritual war going on for the eternal destiny of your spirit. But it's okay, because we know that victory belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. He has attached his victory to us directly through our baptisms from outside of us. Our salvation is secured in the name of Jesus. It is for the sake of Christ that we are already delivered, yet for the sake of this life, once deliverance from the power of sin that lurks within our bodies. The Spirit has already rescued us, but again, for the mercy that can be afforded to us in this life, we are rescued from the steely strength of the grave, whose fingers slowly tighten their intractable grip with each visit to the doctor. Our Heavenly Father already looks at Christ, who bears the guilt of the whole world. But our guilt still causes us to cry out to be released from our past transgressions that keep us restless and turmoil through the night. To feel the peace we need, the joy, the comfort. We do not try to do more or act like Christians to give ourselves relief. We hear again what Christ has done for us on the cross. Peter was still living in the glow of Easter all these years later when he wrote his first epistle, and all the apostles went out too on their missions in the book of Acts and beyond in the glow of Easter, on the energy of deeds accomplished, work done, verbs and action. But not their action. Rather, it was because of the things done by Jesus their Lord. So listen and hear how Peter writes to us. Come closer to and listen to how he uses verbs. According to mercy, that is, according to unmerited kindness and goodness, Jesus has caused you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 3. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Verse 4. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 5. Now, who is the subject of those verbs? You? No. Everything good in us is something we have received. Therefore, there is nothing good in us. Even if there is something we now possess that is good, it did not come from us. We can claim nothing. Everything good is from God, even his very person, as he promises to dwell in us. This is why it can be confusing. We look at what we do sometimes and are easily persuaded to think it is us, and so praise ourselves for a good work. But we have no right to do that. We have no right to boast. Rather, give glory to God. He alone is good, and he alone does good works, because he promises to live in you by virtue of your baptism, a gift completely unmerited by you. Just thank God that he does work through you, because there are too many reasons why he wouldn't work through us, shouldn't work through you. And more importantly, God working good works through you by the grace of his Spirit is not why you are saved. The glow of Easter is that Jesus is risen from the dead because he died for your and my sins on the cross. This is the one thought and truth that keeps us both completely sober and at the same time completely enthralled, our minds being too small to fully grasp the love which God has for us. This is why we are most certainly blessed, because it is not what we have done, but what Christ has done for us. And a right way to convey this praise is not by simply using words that cause great emotion to swell up within us, such as, God is the most beautiful thing in the world, or I get all excited when I see God, I can see him doing this in my life, or even, I'm in heaven when I'm here in my element worshiping God. It's not even very helpful to simply describe God as lovely or joyful or peaceful, unless we're going to ascribe something to his name, a verb, something he has done. For there is something he has done for us. Our text gives us a good point to look at. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy he has given us new birth. To praise Jesus rightly, we don't just speak of how he makes us feel, we confess what he has done. So first of all, he creates in us a new will. We then see that it is this will that trusts in Christ alone for salvation, something that comes from outside of us. It is important to where salvation comes from then. It comes from God. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verses 3 to 5. Did you do the great work of being born again? No. Did you earn your inheritance? No. Are you able yourself to keep a spot safe in heaven for you? No. Is it you who guards your faith, which will be revealed on the last day? No. It is God who is doing all those things. And that is why you will live at the last, because the work which He alone is doing, even in you, He alone completes on that day. And on that day, you will no longer then have any of the sinful person that you are. So as you can see, it is not what you have done, but what Christ has done for you. Trust in Him alone for salvation. His will be done. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. I hope you've enjoyed this week's message. Next week we will be looking at how to see things God's way from Luke chapter 24. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series Faith That Functions.